Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Kerry Stevenson, and today I am speaking with Barry Cahill. He's the Managing Director of Cyprium Metals. The ASX code for Cyprium is CYM, and they have the nifty copper mine over in Western Australia. Barry, thanks for joining me on Small Caps today. Great to see you.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Well, first time you've come on to Small Caps, Barry. So first up, give us a brief overview on Cyprium, and then we'll dive into some detail.
Yeah, no worries. So Cyprium was formed about 3 years ago with a strategy to build a mid-tier copper business. A small group of us got together who'd previously been running a little copper show in Indonesia and a few other base metal projects around Australia, and decided that's what we wanted to do. Part of what we've got is a bit of intellectual property around the heap leach metallurgy. And so we basically bought some projects in the Murchison in Hollandaire and Nanardi Well. We listed them on the ASX, and then March last year we made a big transaction. We bought the copper assets out of Metals X, so Nifty, Maroochydore, and there's also a joint venture with IGO. And as I said, at the start, our strategy is to build a mid-tier copper business. So we're about building copper projects. So we're about to build Nifty, and then we'll move on. We'll build Maroochydore and the Murchison project, and basically try and get up to produce about 80 to 100,000 tonne of metal, copper metal, over the next sort of 5 to 10 years, as I said, with Nifty first cab off the rank.
Well, certainly you're in the right commodity, because we know that the supply-demand gap is getting bigger and bigger. However, the Nifty, I want to start with Nifty. It's had a bit of a checkered past. I had a couple of owners in the past, the most recent one being Metals X. Why, you've had your eye on it for a little while. Why do you? What's your reasoning for wanting to get your hands on it, and what are you going to do differently?
Well, Nifty historically was like Western Mining and then Straits Resources was a heap leach SXEW producing copper metal plate. And then it was purchased by Aditya Birla, who took it underground onto the Jalpa pyrite and produced a copper concentrate, which they sold into India. Those three companies all made good money at Nifty. And in fact, in the early days of the underground, Aditya Birla made really, really good money and paid good dividends. Then it ran on to hard times with there were some underground subsidence and some problems with fill. Metals X took it over and couldn't quite recover it. And then in November 2019, they shut the underground. In all this time, we've looked at it mainly focusing on the fact that there was an SXEW and like a heap leach
treatment. Hang on, Barry, what's an SXEW? I've got no idea. I guarantee my little gang out there, well, some of them might know, but I don't.
So solvent extraction electrowinning plant. And what that means is, for those of us who do chemistry at high school, it's when you get the blue water and you basically put the iron steel wool in and run electricity through it and it plates copper out. So that's all an SXEW does, is it plates copper out onto what's called a cathode, and then the copper's stripped off and it's copper metal plate. It's we call it like 4 or 5 nines pure, which 4 nines pure is 99.99%. Other people call it LME grade A, but what that means is, which is London Metal Exchange, yep, which means it can be sold all over the world. It's fed into, so it's a final finished product, and it's fed into a blast furnace, and you extrude copper rod or tube, like for your copper plumbing for your pipes, or wire or electric cable, and you form electric cable from it. So that's why it's 99.99% pure, because then it can go and manufacture those products that we use. And obviously the most important at the moment is the cable, because you need copper for cable for this energy transition that's happening at the moment. So SXEW is a solvent extraction electrowinning, which means the copper is taken out of a dirty solution, it's put into a clean solution, put next to cathodes and anodes, and the copper's plated out. And there was one of those on site originally from the Western Mining Straits days, which we'd had an interest in, that's on care and maintenance. And there's also 17 million tonnes at 0.5% copper in old heap leach there. And that's really what we first targeted. And then the underground was put into care and maintenance, and we were offered the whole package, and we basically purchased it. And people say, oh, why would you do that? Well, the reason is, when you stand on the edge of the old pit at Nifty, it looks like a big open pit rather than an open pit underground. And you've got to remember, 20, 30 years ago, that's what we used to do. We used to have a shallow open pit and then we'd go underground, whereas these days the open pits are much, much deeper. And it really does look like a big open pit, and that's why we purchased it. So underground shut. It's currently filling up with water. It's a water source for us, and we're going to mine a big open pit in it. The study that we just put out, which goes for 6.5 years, is around the oxide part of it. There's a longer 20-year mine life that deals with the sulfide part of it, because there's 700,000 tonne of copper in that resource, growing all the time because it's still open. So we're actually going to do about 150,000 tonne in this phase one, and then we're going to move on to the sulfide material.
Phase one is open pit, and and it's the oxide material, not the sulfides. Is that right?
So that's correct. So it's the top of the ore body. Yep. Phase two is still open pit, but it's the sulfide ore body underneath the chalcopyrite.
And what's it, for those that don't know, what's the difference, and is it more difficult?
It is more difficult. So basically all copper minerals leach. It's just the rate that they leach. So the oxide, the transitional copper minerals leach really easily, if you like. Well, they're not easy, but for want of a better word, they naturally leach a lot quicker. The sulfide minerals at depth are a lot slower. And that's really what our intellectual property is about, is that we do some things to accelerate the rate of leach of the sulfide minerals. In terms of the oxide, they leach pretty quick anyway, so there's not an issue there, even though we do accelerate them. Like some of them are, say, 300 days, and we can accelerate them back to, say, 150 days. But the sulfides are much more difficult, and there's a number of things that you have to do, and all sorts of technical stuff to get it to leach, and that's really where our intellectual property is. So at the moment, the oxide part of it's well proven. Historically, it's already produced 200,000 tonne of copper metal plate from that site in that SXEW. The sulfide has been through the concentrator, which still sits there. What we're doing at the moment is we're looking at the metallurgy of the sulfide. If the commercial part of the metallurgy of the sulfide with a heap leach stacks up more competitively than the concentrator, then we'll do the heap leach. If the concentrator is commercially more competitive, the concentrator is still there. It's about a month to get it going, and then we'll just go and do concentrate. But ideally, we'd like to produce copper metal plate from the sulfide. But that's the longer term. That's, you know, the longer term 20-year mine life. This first 6.5 years is all about oxide and retreat, because we're retreating the 17 million tonne at 0.5% copper as well. So it's a robust project on the oxide alone without the sulfide, because remember, we've got a refurbished SXEW, we've got a gas power station, power pipeline, gas pipeline. We've got a bitumenised airstrip. We've got an accommodation camp. We've got all the administrative stuff. We've got communications. So it's an established site. So it's not like we're out in the middle of nowhere on a greenfields trying to spend $400 or $600 million on building something new. We've got everything there. It's basically just a refurb, which is why it's so quick. So that's why we get it to turn around and we can make money pretty quick. And it's all open pit. There's at no point in our current planning are we intending to go underground. And as I said, it's because it's shallow. You know, I think the deepest part of underground is like around the 400-metre mark. And, in fact, phase one doesn't even come to the top of the underground. There's still a gap between the underground. So it's all pretty good and de-risked.
Barry, you said the intellectual property, the secret source of Cyprium Metals. What is this a technology? This allows you to shorten the heap leach process. Is that what you meant by that?
Yeah, it basically allows the recovery curves to get to an optimum recovery, because the recovery doesn't stop, basically artificially terminate it, because it's the recovery will go on, the curve will flatten off, but it'll go on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, and you never reach 100%. So right. You artificially terminate it. So all we do is we stand that curve up, so that you get to a higher recovery quicker and then you terminate, and then you put it on another stack and another stack and another stack. That's all we do, and we just do that. There's lots of things around it. So first off, you have to look at your mineralogy, your rock type, and then there's like crust size, there's agglomeration, then there's chemicals you can do, there's aeration and solutions and all sorts of things. But ultimately what you want to do is produce blue water out of the bottom of the heap, because you're putting fluid on top and the fluid comes out the bottom of the copper. You want blue water out of the bottom of the heap as quick as you can get it out, and that's really what we're good at. And probably more better, what our real strength is and our real intellectual property is doing that in the lab, getting really good results, and then moving the lab work to the field and making it work in the field, because we're operators and constructors, and that's our real strength. We've got really good technical metallurgists who'll come up with the treatment methodology, and then we've got really good operating people and metallurgists and technical people who can make it happen on site. That's really that link. And that's where in Australia I think it fails. I think the test work goes really well and then you just can't get it going in the field. So that's where we think we're pretty good. And not the smartest, it's just that we've probably made a lot of mistakes. That's probably why we're good at it.
You've done it, and you've done it before.
Yeah, we have done it before in a few areas. We've also operated concentrators and all that sort of stuff as well. So we've got this pretty broad set of skills. And we just try and understand the chemistry of why the metallurgy is working and move from there.
But just to be very clear on this, there is a concentrator on, like you talked about all the infrastructure, that's all good. That's a massive tick. There's a concentrator sitting there, which must be, you know, quite valuable, I would have thought. But the decision as to whether to use it or not is yet to be made. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So in the next 6 months, so it's a 2.8 million tonne per annum concentrator.
Wow.
For a cheap price, you can get it up to over three. It's probably, if you were going to build that new, it'd cost you a couple hundred million bucks, easy, probably, just for that concentrator. Yeah.
So when are you going to make that decision as to which way to go? And if you do, say for example, you say, look, we don't need the concentrator because this is working, how would you monetize that? Would you sell the concentrator?
Just sell it, because you won't be able to get one. As you know, there's all these supply issues. Structural steel prices have gone through the roof. So you can't get gear, so it's quite valuable. I reckon in 6 months we'll know and we'll make a decision about what we want to do with it. And you've got to move pretty quick because technology changes, so, you know, it makes it harder to sell if it's an old mill. But, you know, if we need it, we'll use it because we've run concentrators before, but the aim is not to.
Do you think the market believes that you can actually produce this copper metal plate?
I think our investors that are already there and invested certainly do, because a lot of them followed us from our previous jobs. They do.
Yep.
But I think generally the market, so it generally has issues with metallurgy that's a bit different, and quite frankly, Australians aren't very good at heap leach. That's well proven. We've destroyed enough of them and failed in enough of them. And then Nifty itself, of course, has got this bit of a bad rep around the Metals X care and maintenance sort of thing. And again, understandable. And I don't think some of the markets realise that we're not going underground, that we're actually going open pit. So I think all of those sort of add up to you know, sort of keep our market value down. And I think, but, you know, that probably not unexpected when you put all those things together. But the reality is we're financing at the moment you know, sort of from the 1st of July next year, we'll be producing copper metal plate and selling it into international markets. So it's only a 12-month build.
Did you say 1st of July next year you're going to be producing copper?
Yeah, because it's only a refurb. So it's not like a full build, which takes 2 years. So we'll be financed by the end of this financial year. Money in the bank July will kick off. Pretty quick refurb construction. And then, yeah, we'll be commissioning last quarter of the financial year, but second quarter of the calendar year for us. And then third quarter with full production. Into it.
That's really good to hear, but talk to me about the finance. How much money have you got in the bank at the moment? How much is it going to cost to get this going, and how are you going to do it?
So we've got about 14 million in the bank at the moment. We'll get the finance in two facilities. So the maximum drawdown, including working capital, was about $200 million. So we'll get that in senior debt. And then we'll get about 50 million in mez finance, which is basically around working capital, cost overrun facilities, those sort of things, contingency facilities. And associated with that, there'll be some sort of, we believe, there'll be some sort of metal trade sort of agreement or something with someone. So the total will be about 250, of which there's the cost overrun contingency portion we wouldn't expect to access, but it's available if we need it.
Are you going to be doing an equity raise? I guess what I'm getting to is, you know, are there going to be more shares issued? Is there going to be dilution for current shareholders? That all that sort of stuff as you go down, because it can get to when you get to the pointy end, it can get a little bit expensive.
Yeah, so the major aim behind the finance was to reduce any dilution to current shareholders. Okay. And in that regard, I'm really selfish because I am one.
Good to hear.
So what that allows us to do is to actually, if we've got a smaller equity component, and remembering it's a refurb, so there's already a lot of sunk equity and capital in there, which is why I managed to finance like that. Because all your equity's been sunk already. So what it does is it allows us to do, if we need an equity component which is small, then it allows us to look after our current shareholders. So we don't have to do a big dilutive cap raise to other parties at a discount. We can focus on letting our own shareholders, including me, have another go at it at a more reasonable price. That's the whole aim. Never say never, you don't know until that happens till you sign the docs, and that's close. So we'll see what we end up. But that was the aim all along, minimise the equity component, minimise the dilution of shareholders, and if there is some equity needed, then give the shareholders a ping at it. So if you've got stock at the moment and, you know, you want to get some more, then you can get it rather than going to some other party who hasn't been supportive. And, you know, my own investment itself has been at a higher share price myself. So as I said, there's a bit of vested interest in this, I can tell you. And my management group have been investing as well at higher prices, so they're all keen to put in again. So we'll see. We'll see where we end up. But at the moment, it's looking really, really good. We're really quite bullish about it all. But as you know, things, the world market changes overnight and suddenly you're sort of left a bit stranded. But we're going as quick as we can.
Well, you are going as quick as you can, and I do like the commodity. Copper is going to be in short supply. We've been focusing a lot on Nifty. My last question before we go to your other projects is, are you going to do much more exploration, or is there enough with what you've got with Nifty that you're just going to focus on the current open pit and what's there?
No, it's sort of a bit problematic at Nifty at the moment. It's not closed off, particularly to the higher portion of the southwest. Yeah, so we've got to get a drill rig out there and start closing the southwest off because we're going to mine a big pit through the middle of it. We're actually doing a resource upgrade at the moment, and some of the inferred resources being converted. I'm hopeful we might have that out this week or next week. So we've already increased the size of the open pit resource in phase one, and it's still open to the east and higher up, so we've got to drill that out as well. So we've got to work through that first. We've also then got some opportunities in other areas around Nifty that are close by that we really need to do something about, because I'm a bit concerned that as the pit gets bigger and we get waste dumps and things, that we sterilise something. So the site, I've got to deal with that. At some stage, we'll get to the other parts of the tenements. And then, of course, we've got IGO, a joint venture running around spending over $30 million drilling all the way around the outside of our tenements.
Yeah, talk to me about that JV with IGO. Where is that? That's on the perimeter, yeah?
Yeah, everything that's not on the main state agreement lease at Nifty and on the mining leases at Maroochydore. So Maroochydore, we've got about 500,000 tonne of copper there and we're drilling there ourselves. But there's a series of tenements around the outside of that and the outside of Nifty where IGO have a joint venture, $32 million over 6.5 years, with a minimum spend of $11 million over 3.5. And they're consistently in season, because there's a drilling season at the moment. They're consistently out there. They're doing soils, they're doing basinal reinterps, they're doing air core, and they're about to start a small diamond program. So they're quite active out there. They love the area. They're very bullish on it. And, you know, good luck to them, because the joint venture at the end of it, they earn 70% and we retain 30. At the moment, they haven't earned any of it, so we're still 100%, but ultimately they'll be 70 and we'll be 30.
And you don't need to put any money into that, but if they find a nice big discovery, nice lot of copper, you get 30% of the upside.
we get 30% of it, and you'd hope that they'd think that we might know something about operating, and maybe they let us operate too. We'll see.
All right. We're running out of time. Barry, it seems to me like what I love is two things what you're doing. One, you're getting on with it fast, so there's going to be a lot of news. So come back as the news flow comes. Let's keep our audience up to date. You've got 14 mil in the bank. You understand where you're going to be financing. You're not going to be diluting shareholders enormously. Just give me three reasons. Everyone knows that this is the way I like to finish up. Three reasons why my beautiful community should be looking at Cyprium Metals right now.
Copper, metal, plate. There you go. We're about one of the only ones doing copper metal plate. 25,000 ton per annum. There you go. So good size.
And that's actually, we didn't really, sorry, I did say this is the last thing, but I just have to alert the audience to this. That is basically upgrading copper concentrate, to a sort of almost an end product. So you get a higher premium for that, I'm assuming.
Yeah, you get more revenue. So you get 100% of your copper price, and you get a premium depending on the quality. So, yeah, it is. It's a big upgrade, and it produces a final product out of the Pilbara in Australia. It's not like a bulk commodity. And it sells easier. Like we've sold it into Thailand, Vietnam, India, China, Malaysia. It really does sell quick. We had some offers over to Europe, but we never sold anything in there before, but you can go to Europe, you know. So it is easily saleable. It's a finished product, and there's an appetite in the market for it, and we love it. It's just so much easier.
It's so much easier. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. Cyprium Metals, as I said before, the code is CYM. They're getting on with it and getting into production next year, and that is quick. And looks like the turnaround for Nifty is only just getting started. Hey, Barry, thanks for joining me on Small Caps. Great to see you. Keep us posted, and all the best for the copper metal plate, ladies and gentlemen. That's the takeaway today.
Thank you.